InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
We're cruising through the morning here on the American Journal. We're coming up on the Alex Jones Show. It's going to be live at 11 a.m. Central. You don't want to miss that. You want to stay tuned. We're joined by Amy Dangerfield. We're doing this interview. Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins here on American Journal. How are you doing, Amy? Go ahead and talk about what you want to talk about, Tim.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about, like, you were touching upon something earlier here with the differences, you know, here in America, and you're like, I'm so blessed to be in America. And let's just highlight some of the things that we have, you know, way better than the rest of the world, and that we kind of don't even realize about it. Because I have things that I've seen, but you probably have a better idea.
Yeah, I mean, I just think like an encoded, like, Bill of Rights, right? The Constitution. Like, Australia doesn't have anything that even closely resembles that. And so that's why it's so easy to take away people's liberties. Obviously, Australia was disarmed in the 90s. So it's extremely difficult to own a firearm. And obviously, that is to defend against a tyrannical government. Ultimately, that is one of the core reasons why. And Australia's government is certainly becoming tyrannical, more and more so by the year. And there isn't really anything that the will of the people can do to push against that, especially as they implement more of these dystopian policies that impede upon the First Amendment and their right to privacy. Australia is a Commonwealth country, so it is the little brother of the UK. And obviously in the UK, we've seen very similar issues when it comes to illegal immigration, when it comes to things like digital ID, and when it comes to things like being arrested for tweets. I mean,
arrested for tweets. Really?
Yeah. In the UK, there's been over 1,200 arrests for tweets. So are you guys familiar with the grooming gang situation in the UK?
No.
I am. Break it down.
So essentially, this gang of Pakistani men have abused thousands upon thousands of women. And because of the cultural sensitivity and not wanting to appear racist, some of these women who have spoken out and in fact made posts calling out the Pakistani grooming gangs have faced worse repercussions than the rapists themselves.
Wow.
It's sickening. So they're making these tweets calling out the situation, calling out the revolving door of justice, where sometimes they take these guys in, they go to charge them, they release them shortly after. And the more attention this situation is getting, people are posting about it online. And then the next thing they know, police are showing up on their doorstep to apprehend them for bringing awareness to it for their racism.
Right. The victim becomes the criminal, and the criminal becomes the victim. The criminal is protected by the system. The criminal is let out on bail or no bail at all. The person that talks about it tries to raise attention to it. I mean, we played the clip on a Harrison show when I did War Room, and it's some ridiculous and just – why do they wear the powdered wig? All of it it's so insane. It's ridiculous. And the guy is like, I don't want to pay for migrant health care. This is such a grave and serious offense that you are going to spend 2 years in prison to think about your actions. And it's just like, screw you, man. You're not enforcing a law. Like you're enforcing a totalitarian state. You're enforcing a Nazi regime, right?
Yeah. That's basically what it is at the end of the day. And at least that's where we're heading. All of the signs are on the wall. And to me, the United States really is the last bastion of freedom in that regard. And that's why it terrifies me that we do have these anti-Semitism and hate speech laws. Like, what even is hate speech, right? At the end of the day, as long as it's not directly threatening violence against somebody, right?
There's clear examples of that. And then there's other ones where they just take that one example and they blanket it for everything else. And it's like, those are two very different situations.
I like the idea that, we don't know what free speech is. Like, hate speech isn't free speech, blah, blah, blah. Here's what free speech is. You can't slander somebody in writing. You can't defame somebody with your speech. You can't call for action. Can't call for violence. Can't yell fire in a crowded theater, anything like that. Anything else is fair game. Totally fair game, especially.
I mean, well, you
criticism
can do those government things, but then there's legal recourse that comes with it, right? Like if you slander someone, then you'll get sued by them civilly. Right. But in Australia, if you do something like that and you're calling out the wrong group, a protected group, then you get arrested through criminal proceedings. That's insane. And that's a very different thing. When it comes to the hate speech laws that are currently being enacted in Australia, I think they're some of the most dystopian in the world. They carry up to a 5-year prison sentence. And it is not even if what you say directly results in a Jewish person being harmed. It's simply if you instill fear inside of them. That is the verbiage and the language used around that law.
So I can say, Tim scared me. I want to throw him in jail. Like, you see how insane that is? But, oh, no.
Yes. And who's the arbiter of fear? Like, who's the arbiter of what constitutes that fear? Well, and that's why it's such a slippery slope.
And this was the same thing we were complaining about. I mean, this is what moved me from the left over to the right. And now I'm kind of back center, but like in COVID time period, they were censoring everybody for COVID related topics. You had the Democrats just throwing people off of accounts left and right. Some of it to combat misinformation, which were just completely like you could discredit and disprove the specific theories, but it was like everything was fair game for them to go and suppress. And that was like, yeah, that doesn't work out. And so now we're seeing the pendulum switch the other way. And like even people on the right now are calling for censorship and the whole you're an anti-Semite and all those things just for questioning what Israel is doing.
And notice how they never pass less laws. They never take laws off the books. It's building up this corporate red tape structure that ultimately, you know, down the line in the future when everything's integrated with technology, the digital ID, the social credit system that you're talking about, Amy, there's going to be no way to run from any of this stuff. And we're still in a very early age of even looking or knowing what that looks like.
Yeah, very true. You know, even here in the United States, I mean, thank God for free speech platforms like Rumble and like X. I mean, even X has been a little bit dicey. Like there are some posts that have shown up on my timeline where it's like, this post is being reported or this is a censored post and you click it and it's something like super benign or informative. So it's even getting a little bit dicey with X. But I will say like last week I had my first YouTube video just completely stripped and removed from the platform.
Really? For
and
what?
It was literally just a video of Nick Fuentes saying that he supported my wedding because my husband and I, we wore our America First hats in some of our wedding pictures after the fact. And it was just him saying like, hey, America First is a movement. This is a community. It's a part of people's lives. They care about it. It was literally a wholesome video. And it was taken down for hateful conduct.
Wow.
Apparently, just because the person who was saying it was Nick Fuentes. And
No. They're saying it because America First is hateful because we're Israel First. We're MIGA. Do you not see? You're being quite racist when you do something like that.
So the problem here is, you know, there are some people that I see take the America First thing too far. There's always extremes with every platform, every ideology in certain regards. But if you just look at kind of the baseline understanding of what people are trying to get is just
prioritization
of just making sure we have the things that we need met here before we're just shipping a bunch of money overseas and getting into all these foreign entanglements. The only problem is where it gets extreme and where they start bucketing everything is the people who take it to the extreme and be like, we need to like start killing all the Muzzies and start killing all the Israelis and the Jewish people are the satanic cult and they lump the entire group instead of attacking the individuals. And that's where it gets dicey. But again, it makes it hard for the people who are trying to push the right agenda.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I will say that I wouldn't conflate America First and that kind of movement with isolationism. I don't think it's that at all. I think that a lot of people who claim to be America First were supportive of the actions in Venezuela, for example, because that's our part of the hemisphere. Obviously, there was an issue with like drug cartels and things like this. So I think that was actually beneficial for the interests of the American people versus getting involved in foreign entanglements overseas at the behest of a foreign nation because they want to maintain regional dominance when Iran has never done anything to attack America.
I, 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 right? I, I yeah. Now, I think what it comes down to is that the American people want to see themselves prioritized. And when you talk to Americans, of course, domestic policy is always the thing that people are upset about. They're upset about grocery prices, gas prices, infrastructure, things happening here. And the price tag for fixing things here is so dirt cheap compared to the billions and trillions they spend on these damn wars. I mean, we broke it down, and this isn't even the full sum of the number. I'm sure it's actually much higher. We take the $11,500 that they're spending every second. We multiply that over 2 weeks. That is, what was that figure again? That's 1,210,000. So think about it. We got 35,000 homeless veterans. We could have given 35,000 homeless veterans $11,000 like 100 times over. But more than that, even, but we couldn't do that. We can't do that. Can't do anything for the people at home. It's always for the people overseas. So what I see America First is it's the farmers. It's the manufacturers, the small business people here at home. It's the people that have to live here and deal with the American system that's supposed to be the greatest thing in the world. We're the greatest country in the world, but the people here suffer.
Yeah, the people here suffer. And people are going to have different stances. I think you and I probably may have differences in terms of what the Venezuela conflict should have been and what the narrative around that. I firmly believe it was more about the oil and the control over our own hemisphere than it was about the drug cartel that Trump was pushing, because a majority of the fentanyl he was claiming, cocaine, comes out of China. And then you've got cocaine Mexico. That comes out of Mexico as well as Colombia. But
it is our hemisphere. Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, that's what I was going to say. Sure. But I mean, I lumped that in at the end, but I did preface by saying it's our hemisphere. It's something that can directly benefit the American empire at the end of the day.
Yep.
How does attacking Iran give any benefit to America? I mean, again, they say it's so that, you know, Israel can have regional dominance, but that terrifies me even more. I think you need to have checks and balances in the Middle East. I don't think that we want Israel to have total hegemony over the Middle East, that they're the ones who actually have nuclear weapons that don't have any type of agreement tied where we can go and inspect them, right?
Yeah.
Whereas we did when it came to Iran. So none of this makes any sense to me. I think at the end of the day, it all comes down to lobbying and foreign interests. I don't think it's any coincidence that Donald Trump's AIPAC takings went from, I think it was like $20 million, which is still a lot of money, but now over 200 and something million dollars shortly after he was elected.
Right.
And now we're getting into a war that could have potentially sparked World War III and still could, by the way.
Yeah.
Right. And I truly believe that that is at the behest of a foreign government. And that is what we need to stop. We need to do things that actually prioritize American citizens. And totally that agree. Truly does not, in my view.
No, I agree. And Rex and I are on the same page as you. And we just appreciate this conversation. And you did mention to us that you are doing something about this America First. Could you clarify what you've been kind of cooking up here and that you're going to be launching pretty soon?
Sure. So, again, I feel like the one white pill that's come from all of this is even regular people, everyday normies, they're starting to open their eyes and seeing that the parties in their traditional form don't actually represent them, the people. And there's been major breaks inside both of the parties on the left as well as the right. We have people, you know, who are even withdrawing from their parties to run as an independent because the party's values no longer reflect them. So there are America First candidates who are running left, right, center, independent, libertarian. And I essentially have a vision of putting them all together in one room and showing people that the America First movement is not only vital to the interests, serving in the interests of them, the people, but it's also, it's a viable thing. You can actually run on this platform and you can actually win. You look at the state of Florida, for example, James Fishback. I did a rally with him out in Naples, Florida at Sea to Table. It's the most conservative grocery store in the United States. It was my first live audience podcast since becoming an independent creator. And I was a little bit scared, guys. I thought that, you know, Naples, there's a lot of boomers there. There'd probably be some more neocon type people in attendance. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with James and some of his policy proposals, but I thought that we would get some pushback from the audience. I knew there would be cheers, but I thought there'd be some boos as well. And I was shocked to see that young people came out in record numbers, and there was nothing but positivity. That room was electric. And he's now pulling in crowds that are adjacent to like Trump, what he had when I'd say Trump was at his maximum charisma level, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible to see the firepower that's following these America First candidates. And now more and more of them are coming out of the woodworks. We saw Mark Moran in Virginia actually withdrew as a Democrat to run as an independent. But there's some great Democrats running as well. Jose Vega.
Jose and Fishback. We've interviewed both of those guys. Yep.
Jose is great. You know, I would back him more than a Republican, for example, if that Republican was beholden to AIPAC. Mm-hmm. There's actually a guy, Jared Christian, who's running out in Ohio's 12th district, and his Republican challenger is a man named Troy Boldison, who's taken over $250,000 from AIPAC, over $250,000. I would rather endorse and put my support behind Jared, who's made it a campaign. He's running on a campaign of economic populism, but also he says that he wants to reach across the political aisle and work with people on the right to help weed out the corruption.
Yeah.
I also got to give a shout out really quick. Sorry. Casey Butch as well, who's running for governor as well. Ohio. Okay. Running against Vivek Ramaswamy, who is a globalist Trojan horse. And so there's so many of these guys. There's literally at least a dozen of them. Yep. And so I'm working with Casey. We're going to put all of these guys in a room together May 2nd. We're going to do a continuous all-day live stream with candidates from the left, right, center, along with America First influencers and commentators. So that way they can come out, they can provide context, they can give endorsements if they so desire, and they can even give cross-aisle endorsements. And that's something that I personally and people I know will be doing, because we're just so freaking sick of the corruption, and we want to show the establishment we hate you guys so much that we're literally willing to work together to put an end to the badness. I think that's what we need right now. We need unity.
That's the thing that I was going to say, is there's finally issues that are big enough for everybody to go, hey, we need to unite on this. We got to stop the death, stop the wasted money, stop the killing, like bring our country back ultimately, because we're not going to have a country much longer. And you can kick the can down the road for a long time, but we're reaching a point where we're going off the cliff here.
Yeah, we are. And what you guys are doing is phenomenal. Amy, do me a favor. After you get off, connect with our producers. We want to get your contact. We want to get in touch with you. We have had a lot of these people on our platform already on the gray area, as well as on InfoWars here, and we want to support this. We want to be able to be a part of this. So I think what you guys are
doing, I'd love to have you guys there.
Where is it going to be?
It's going to be in Columbus, Ohio. And I just think this is so important. And the reason why there's so much unity is because people are realizing that the establishment actually engineer a lot of these culture wars through their NGOs that are funding both sides. And they want to keep us fighting with each other so that we're too distracted to notice that they are, you know, getting entangled with foreign interests, that they're committing genocides, and that they are betraying the American people. But we're too busy fighting each other to even notice. And so I think that's what people are opening up their eyes to. And the event in person, it's going to be great. It's going to be a meeting of the minds. But even more important than that, it's going to be an all-day continuous live stream. And all of these candidates have the right to use the content to stream it to their own platforms, because we're in a very rare moment in time right now where the movement is on our side. We need to mobilize behind these guys to actually get them through their primaries.
Gotcha.
Wow.
No, this has been a phenomenal interview. We definitely want to be talking with you shortly after the show.
And we want to get connected. We want to go to the event. We want to do all of that. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on the show, Amy. Really appreciate your time. Just really quick, where do people find you again?
Yeah, you guys can find me on YouTube, Rumble, and X, Amy Dangerfield, across every platform. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Another phenomenal interview in the books. Really appreciate the great Amy Dangerfield coming on the show, breaking all this down for us. And we really appreciate the global perspective as well. And, you know, maybe we should ask her more about that later next time she comes on.
Yep.
It's just the population in America is so isolated, but you get someone that comes from a country that really has had draconian restrictions on rights, where the people are truly oppressed. And these people are so grateful to be here in a country where these things aren't at least, happening large scale.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I mean, it just it was very interesting to see her rattle off the list of names of people that, like, you know, we've been watching and we've been talking to them, and you just realize this world is a lot more interconnected than you realize. And there's a lot of these grassroots guys that need more support. It's hard to go against people who have already been part of the establishment and have millions of dollars backing them, like a Byron Donalds.
Sure. Absolutely. And you can
look Vivek's at, a billionaire.
Exactly. I mean, and you can look at Fishbite and criticize him, say whatever you want. He's running a very effective grassroots campaign. And we're going to see a lot more of this in the future, not less of it. We're going to see a lot more. This is the new political equation. It's going to be people replicating the success of Trump based off of actually having these original ideas and opinions that don't fit in with the mainstream. The real test of time will be seeing if characters like this, once they get elected, if they actually stick to their guns.
Yes.
And we're going to hold people, they're going to hold their feet to the fire. We're going to hold people accountable. That's our job in all of this as chroniclers, as people that are doing journalism, doing media. Our job is to track the timeline and make sure there aren't any deviations from it.
Yes.
Because we want the solutions, don't we? We want the solutions.
We always want the solutions. That's why we do the deep dives. That's why we do the news blitz. That's why we do it in a way that's impartial. I mean, we've said this before, but I'll reiterate it here again for you guys. We're not picking a side. We're humanity and America. We want everybody to cooperate. We don't care about the right. We don't care about the left. Whoever has the equation. She mentioned Jose Vega.
Right.
Very grassroots guy from New York. He's left wing. But when we talked to him, he didn't sound very left wing. He wasn't saying, I want transgender schools all over America. It was nothing like that.
All these issues that define left and right are just so minor and they don't even matter. What really matters is the death of thousands, if not millions, of innocent people around the world. They want to depopulate the planet. They want everyone under a control grid, a social credit score, a system. We're saying, why do we have to do that? So it's our job to be honest and logically consistent and to bring the best people to you guys that we, in our view, we see as doing that as well. And then we can kind of build that brain trust together.
Yeah. Right. And I also encourage people. You know, that the reason why I was asking Amy a lot about the rest of the world is to open our eyes and kind of clear the gunk that has been piled on us day after day after day, doom and gloom, doom and gloom, doom and gloom. And, you know, that's why I try to bring a little bit of white pill perspective. I was like, hey, talk about how good we have it. You know, we wouldn't be able to sit here in this space right now talking about Trump in China. They would have sent the black truck.
That's right.
Came into this, shut this operation down, grab them, throw them in prison.
Right.
You know? So we gotta count our blessings at the same time.
And we also must preserve them. But to preserve them, we got to be aware of them. And that's what we're calling for here. Just like we live in such a great country. Even now, the people here are so great. It's our job to wake up our brothers and sisters that have fallen asleep and are under the spell of the Mockingbird media, the mainstream media. It's our job to say, wake up. Mm-hmm. Wake up and realize what's happening now in your own country while you still have the rights and the freedoms left to preserve it and to fight for it.
Now, before we go here, do you want to talk about what your cooking up here for the morning?
Yeah, that's an excellent segue. I appreciate it. So this is the last week ever of the American Journal. Our last show is going to be on Friday. However, I'm going to keep the time slot. I'm going to keep it alive. You guys want to catch up with me and continue the show on forward. I'm going to be doing My American Journal here on X. I've got a URL for it. I'm going to be setting all that up today. I'm going to be plugging that starting tomorrow. But just know, I'll be doing a 3-hour show 5 days a week in the morning, combined with the gray area stuff that we're going to be doing at night as well. Yep. More frequently right now, we're doing that show Thursday, Sunday. Probably we'll eventually go back to doing it Tuesday as well. We really love it. So,
and we're not disappearing or anything like that.
It's just a transition.
Everything's changing here. You know, I mean, people are like, what's happening? What's going to happen? You guys have been dragging this thing out. No, there's real things happening.
There's real things happening behind the scenes. When you see us say, hey, please support us, and like, we need your power to stay on air, like, that is all 100% true. That's always been true. And American Journal is over on Friday. So if you want the new home of that, follow me, Rex Jones News on Twitter. It'll be live on my profile there every day, as well as the YouTube and Rumble that I'm going to be setting up. Just wanted to plug that. And we got the Alex Jones Show coming up. And we got really powerful information. I mean, I've been so proud of my dad and the coverage he's been doing of the conflict.
Sticking to his guns, man.
Calling balls and strikes, being anti-war, being pro-humanity. We love it. And that's why, like, we're just really proud to be on this historic network and to get to do this news coverage, right?
Yeah, man. And we're just going to try to carry the baton. This won't be the last time you guys see us. We'll also be here on Friday.
We'll be on New Network as well.
Yeah. So you guys are going to be getting more of this. But again, sometimes you got to shed the old skin to make something new, and it's going to be bigger and better, guys.
Absolutely. Like the Phoenix, we shall rise from the ashes on the new network, on the new American Journal show, on Gray Area Talks, on everything we're doing, because this is an info war, and the info war never sleeps. The info war never takes a break. The info war never pauses or stops. It continues on. It marches forward. And we're in that battle. We're fighting that battle with you, the info warriors out there, the viewers and listeners. We got the Alex Jones Show about to come up. We love you. It's always an honor. Tim Tompkins, Rex Jones, The American Journal. We'll see you on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.